Our scripture text for consideration this morning is recorded for us in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth, for this your word is truth. Amen. Peace be with you. Webster describes peace as a state of being free from anxiety or distress. It sounds simple, right? If it were really that simple, why are we often anxious or distressed? We all have concerns. Will I finish my homework before the end of the school year? Will I graduate? Will I get a job this summer or a career after graduation? What about my financial situation, my health, or the health of my loved ones? Look at the world around us. Wars are rampant. Immorality is publicized as the norm. The sanctity of life and the biblical definition of marriage are constantly being attacked by the world around us, even the civil authorities who are supposed to represent us. Where does it all come from? Is there an end in sight? In our lives here on earth, there will always be some unrest and uneasiness. This lack of peace is a result of a one-time occurrence of sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Again, simplicity. But the results are complex. Their sin is our sin. We have disobeyed God, and this is the ultimate source of unrest in our life. The recent Lenten season has again reminded us of the hell which Jesus endured on our behalf. His suffering, passion, and death are an ever-present reminder of the torment which we deserved. So who are we to turn up our noses at God as though we do not deserve a little distress or discomfort? It's our sin. It should be our distress as well. What right do we have to question the trials which God places before us? The recent celebration of Easter has reminded us why God's wrath has been appeased. His justice against us was carried out. Christ took the dreadful load of our sins onto the cross with him. Through his suffering, passion, and death, he has freed us from our anxiety before God and has given us his perfect life in place of our own. This is the peace that we have with God, the opportunity to approach him without fear or anxiety. Just because we have eternal peace with God does not mean that our lives will pass us by without their difficulties. The peace that we have with God is sure, but our hope and confidence in that peace can and does waver at times. The text for today tells you, it is for your good that God allows tribulations to come upon you. They may come in the form of physical hardship, suffering, and distress. We may be tempted through them, but God is not the instigator of temptation. These tribulations don't happen by chance. We, like Job, are not exempt from the temptations which the devil throws at us. God uses these temptations for our benefit. God allows Satan to poke and prod at us so that we see that we cannot do anything on our own. Satan does all that he can in order to overturn our faith. But God, with every temptation, always provides a way of escape. God does this in order to exercise our faith and to show to each one of you those areas in your life where you are the weakest. Tribulations are difficult. God doesn't give us an excess amount of money just to see what we will do with it. Rather, he sustains us through reasonable means in order to see what we will do with those things he has provided for us. At other times in our lives, he allows economic hardship to come upon us so that we wake up and realize that he is in control of all things. We are to realize that he desires to lead us to a closer relationship with him. He provides us the means to overcome through a reliance on his word and daily communication with him in prayer. Just as Christ seemed to get kicked repeatedly when he was down, so it is with his followers. God does allow us to get kicked when we are down in order to preserve us. Tribulations produce perseverance. That is a willingness and a patience to cling to Christ even in the face of persecution. This perseverance shows itself in who you are. Patient suffering under the cross brings you to an understanding of your role as a Christian. Perseverance shows itself by defining who you are. It shows others how you respond in everyday situations. It is a statement without words which allows others to see the love of Christ which dwells in your heart. Luther has some rather strong words concerning tribulations. He writes, "Whoever is unwilling to suffer tribulation should never think that he is a Christian, but rather an enemy of Christ." In other words, if you do not wish for your faith and confidence in your Lord to be strengthened, what right do you have to call yourself a Christian? Luther's kind of harsh on this point, but he emphasizes the negative in order to reinforce the positive, that God's will in seeing us suffer is not so that we curse him and reject his ways, but so that we cling to him at all times and turn to him when we are in need. Just as Christ suffered tribulation, we as Christians should be honored to share in his tribulation. Tribulations are meant to show us how much we should rely on God and how little we should rely on ourselves. Tribulations are meant to sustain our faith with the ultimate purpose of bringing us safely to him in heaven. These tribulations direct us to look to God alone for help. In his word and sacraments, he purifies and strengthens our faith. He uses trials in order to encourage us to turn to him in his word and seek communication with Him through prayer. This is our hope, that we continue to rely on God, that we continue to trust in the promise of Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we continue to acknowledge that Jesus' payment for our sin is complete. Even though our faith may waver, our hope rests in that which is secure. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has secured for us a place in heaven because your sins are forgiven. Picture hope in this way: the cross, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the bridge on which all Christians walk in order to get from this life to eternal life. This bridge prevents us from falling into the despair and pit of hell. Now, we have no reason to fear this bridge because it is of divine origin. Here, we are to rely on Christ alone as our only Savior. This bridge is the only path which allows us entrance into the courts of heaven. This hope is not a deception. It is based on the love that was shown to us while we were still sinners. This hope has been sealed by the love that has made a home in your hearts, the love which God poured out on you in your baptism. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, faith was created in our hearts by the power of the Word. The Holy Spirit creates and strengthens faith through God's Word, and by it sustains our faith unto eternal life. God's grace does not come to us after we have attained a certain level of perfection. It is freely offered to you. His forgiveness is in the palm of your hand. Close it tightly. Never let it go. Use God's Word to strengthen and nourish your faith, and watch it blossom and grow. God's love for us has made a home in our hearts to allow us the privilege as Christians of bearing our burdens together and sharing His love for you with all the world. May God grant each and every one of us the zeal to stand firm on the ground of faith unto eternal life. Amen.